This episode of the Columbia Basin Herald Studio Basin Podcast is brought to you by the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber works to help businesses in and around Moses Lake flourish through networking opportunities, member-to-member savings for products and services, and connecting businesses with the resources they need to make Moses Lake a wonderful place to live, work, and play. For more information, visit moseslake.com or call the Chamber at 509-765-7888. Again, that's 509-765-7888. Hi, everybody. My name is Ian Bavona. I'm the sports reporter here with the Columbia Basin Herald. Welcome to our December 15th edition of the Studio Basin Podcast. I'm joined in the studio today as, per normally, senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer.
That would be me.
Yes, lovely to have you in here today with me, Cheryl. And we'll get started.
We should say Ian Bavona, podcaster extraordinaire.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The two podcasting classes I took in college brought me a long way. But we'll get started with our new segment today by talking about some of the funding struggles that have been going on with the Adams County Pet Rescue.
Yeah. Okay. And it's not necessarily unique to Adams County. Mm-hmm. This is happening all over. There have been a lot of discussions about Grant County Animal Outreach for much the same reasons. The problem is that there's a whole lot of animals that are being abandoned or turned over or left behind or whatever, and only so much room at the pet rescue mm-hmm. for them, and the cost is beginning to escalate beyond what they can afford to pay. So this week, the last couple months, of course, it's budget season. And both Adams County and the City of Othello kind of contract with ACPR to provide services. Mm-hmm. And Pet Rescue asked for some pretty substantial increases, which both entities are really struggling to come up with. And in fact, the offer that Othello made to them, they turned down. They estimate they need about $365,000. And they asked Othello for like $150,000, which would be a huge increase from what Othello was paying previously. Mm-hmm. They also asked the county for some money, for extra money. I think they asked them for $150,000 also. They asked both the City of Othello and Adams County for $150,000 each, and neither one of those entities really can come up with that much money. And so what happens next, we're not sure. Mm-hmm. That's still a story that's developing. Mm-hmm. But that's not an unusual situation probably anywhere in the United States right now.
Yeah, definitely.
There are a lot of stray animals abandoned, turned back by their owners. And all of these places are struggling to house, feed, care for them, and get them out adopted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, it's not just in Adams County.
No.
I live up in Soap Lake, and I see stray animals out all the time. So,
yes.
If you have the ability to help out one of these animal shelters, feel free. It's the giving season. Feel free to do that.
I think both Grant County Animal Outreach and Adams County Pet Rescue and all of the little independent organizations that help animals would much appreciate anything you could do for them.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I'm a cat owner myself, so it means this issue means a lot to me.
And I think your cat was a rescue, wasn't she?
Yes.
That's what I thought. So. Yeah.
So, Honey, she's awesome. That's her name, Honey.
She's a very pretty cat. She's
yes,
a tortoiseshell.
She's awesome.
Calico, and she's beautiful.
Yes, but don't forget to feed her. She gets a little crazy. or don't go too long without feeding her.
There you go.
Anyway, in other headlines this week, we had an award given to the Moses Lake City Manager.
Right. Kevin Fuhrer, who was recently named Moses Lake City Manager, received the Person of the Year Award from the Moses Lake Community Coalition. And in fact, I think the coalition is going to name their award for him from now on.
Okay, that's awesome.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
He, of course, most people know this, but if you don't, previously he was the Moses Lake Police Chief. He served as an interim city manager a couple of times, and finally the council just said, here, you take this, mm-hmm. and kind of handed it to him.
He's a man of many hats.
Man of many hats. As he himself said, how do you put it? Something about, I'm taking over the world. That's what he said. I'm taking over the world. Now, he really isn't, but...
Yeah. You know. Awesome. And then... Over at CB Tech, I heard they were gifted
a fire truck. Well, gifted is probably the wrong word. the city signed an interlocal agreement with them to allow them use of the fire truck for the fire science class that CB Tech has. And what that means is that it's got a lot of equipment that they would need, like if they were actually fighting a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you do it. And this is the equipment that you use.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about CB Tech is it emphasizes getting kids to where they can at least start to work in a field and then go on for more education as they go. And this gives firefighters kind of a leg up, some training that they can use
mm-hmm.
while they're going to college or, you know, to get a start in the industry and then go on to more education. And there is a ceremony that goes along with it,
mm-hmm.
which they did on Wednesday morning. When a new engine is brought into the firehouse, they wash it off, and they give it a pretty thorough cleaning, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few words said about it, a little bit of a blessing, and then it is pushed into the part of the bay where it will sit. And that's what the cadets, as they call them, the students at CB Tech did.
Like actually pushed?
Push it in.
Oh.
There's a picture in the paper of them pushing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, got to be pretty strong to push
it. There were a lot of them. It helps.
Definitely.
And then our other main news story this week is the Grant County PUD approved an interim policy for setting rates. Rates have, as people who follow this issue know, been a hot topic for the PUD lately.
Mm-hmm.
And this resolution doesn't really change anything very much because there is a discussion coming next year,
mm-hmm.
probably January, February, on rate setting policy, how they want to do it going forward, what rates are going to look like going forward. This doesn't really change. It had a set of guidelines that you were supposed to meet, and basically what was changed here was that the time frame for the guidelines was taken out. So this is kind of a placeholder until we get into the serious discussions, which are coming up.
Mm, gotcha. Awesome. Well, I think that'll do it for our news segment.
We do have a guest
coming in next week. Cheryl,
do you
want to talk a little bit about our guest?
We have Tom Dant, who is a representative for the 13th District,
mm-hmm.
coming into our studio. And I think he's actually been here before, but it's been quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're probably going to talk about the last session, the session coming up, which is less than a month away now, I think, or
mm-hmm.
right around that. What we can look for in next year in the session, what kind of things Mr. Dent thinks are going to be important issues, some of the things that he focuses on.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of get a look at politics as we go into a presidential election year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It should make for a great episode.
It should make for an interesting episode. Tom Dent is an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Awesome. Well, do we want to shift into sports?
We do.
All righty. The next segment of the Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by Sue's Gift Boutique at 212 West 3rd Avenue in Moses Lake. Stop by Sue's to explore a variety of items, including ladies' apparel, candles, hobo purses, items for infants, Ilse Jacobson shoes, and jewelry. Stop in and support a Columbia Basin business with local roots.
Okay. So, ace sports reporter Ian Bavone.
I love when we do the podcast together because you're always giving me these awesome titles. I need to put them on my business card. but yes, it's not the busiest week. We had a couple other things going on at the paper, but I was able to get to a couple of events this week that were really fun. So we'll get started with last Saturday on the 9th, December 9th.
Okay.
I went to a couple of local wrestling tournaments that were hosted here around the basin.
Multiple wrestling tournaments.
Yes, emphasis on a couple.
Yes.
There was a wrestling in Warden at the Warden Women's Wrestling Invites. There were a couple of local teams there. A wrestling tournament down in Othello at the Leonard Schutte Invitational. And then in Royal, they hosted their first girls wrestling tournament, which was really cool. So.
You were all over.
Yes. definitely got some good miles on my car on Saturday.
Two words, mileage.
Yes, there we go. In Warden, the tournament was won by Othello with 204 points. Also at the tournament was Afreda, who scored 103 points and finished in 7th place. And then, of course, the Warden Cougars were there as well on their home tournament.
Yeah.
They scored 72 points and placed 11th in the tournament. They had a lot lower numbers than some of the other teams that ended up coming. I think it was 8 Cougars that ended up wrestling in the tournament. So 11th place with 8 wrestlers. I believe they had one.
That's pretty good.
I believe they had one wrestler come out on top. I think it was Jada Hernandez.
Okay.
So good performance for the Cougars and the Huskies and Tigers there as well. Down in Othello, that tournament was won by the Huskies as well with 205 points. Also there were the Royal Knights, their boys team, who finished 9th place with 75 points. And Quincy was there as well. They finished 13th with 36 points. And I think Quincy, if I remember correctly, they only had 4 wrestlers compete there.
Oh, okay.
So. And then finally at the Royal Lady Knights Invitational, that tournament was won by Royal, 239 points. Second place was Moses Lake with 201.5 points. Third place was Quincy, so it was all based on top of that tournament. They had the Jackrabbits had 194 points, and then Othello's junior varsity team placed 10th with 87 points. So
the growth in girls wrestling is really impressive in this valley.
Definitely, yeah. And that was one of the things when I talked with Royals head coach Jesus Carlos Villa. He was saying how that's kind of why they wanted to start this tournament. Because of the growth that girls wrestling has seen over the last couple of years. We see it at the state level with the MAC Classic being separated into 2 divisions for girls now. And he was saying how it gets difficult for parents and friends to go over all over the state to watch their wrestlers compete on the mat. So they wanted to do something on their home court or on their home mat. And it was really fun. They had a lot of a really good turnout there.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I wasn't there able to stay there super long because I had the other 2 tournaments to go to.
3 tournaments in one day.
Yeah, it gets a bit busy. But no, it was awesome. They had a couple of their wrestlers finish on top of the podium at the tournament at their
in their own high school.
In their
first ever invitational tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
That's
so fun. And if you're interested in reading about where local wrestlers placed, we have that story. It was in Monday's edition of the Columbia Basin Herald. That would have been December 11th.
December 11th, yes.
So, yeah, you can check that out. And got some good pictures in there as well. So, and then moving on, we had a couple basketball games over at Moses Lake this week. Both the Moses Lake boys and girls ended up defeating Pasco. They did it in pretty different fashions, too. So, in the girls' game, we'll start with them because that was the first game on Tuesday night. They ended up trailing most of the game. They trailed it at the end of the first, at the end of the second quarter, and at the end of the third quarter. But it was pretty close. It was like within 2 to 4 points at the end of each period. And then the fourth quarter, the Mavericks just came alive. They ended up icing the game away with clutch free throws by senior Lexi Cox, junior Kaya Char, and senior Kendall Reffitt. Reffitt hit all four of her free throw attempts within like the last minute and a half of the game. It was funny when I was talking with their head coach Matt
Strophy. That's ice cold right there.
Yeah, when I was talking with their head coach Matt Strophy after the game, he was saying, "Yeah, she's just a dog at the free throw line. She's a dog on defense." He said, "I forget the exact quote he said, but he's like, of course she's a dog. Her dad was a dog. Obviously, Jordan Reffitt was a good Husky defensive lineman."
Oh, okay.
We actually talked to him for the Moses Lake magazine story. So if you're interested in reading his journey around Moses Lake and going to Seattle to play for the Huskies, you can check that out. But yeah, anyway, they ended up winning the game 50-44 with some really good defensive play down the stretch. Lexi Cox led the Mavericks with 16 points in that win. And then on to the boys' game. It was just an unreal performance by the defense. They forced more than 30 turnovers.
Wow.
It was really cool. In the second half, I was standing next to the student section taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And each turnover that Pasco had, the student section would cheer out, 30 turnovers, 31 turnovers, 32. So good on them. They kept their stats during the game.
Good stat keepers then, were they?
Yeah. Like I said, the defense just played out of their minds in the second half. They held the Bulldogs to 3 points in the second half.
Wow. That is amazing.
That didn't come until the fourth quarter. So
they held them scoreless for the whole third quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and
that is good defense.
Yes, all the turnovers forced allowed the Mavericks to play really well in transition, where they'd intercept the pass, get it to an open player down the court. and just going for an open layup. So, sophomore Tyce Miller led the Mavs with 15 points in that win. And with both those wins on Tuesday night, both Moses Lake girls and boys team improved to 2-4 on the year. They both head to Wenatchee today on Friday night, and then come back to host Sunnyside on Saturday. So, got a couple games coming up for the Mavs this weekend. And then you were at another basketball game.
I went to Quincy Thursday night for the annual Battle of the Basin basketball edition. And both games were pretty... There was a definite winner in each one. The Freda girls won the game 64-23, and the Quincy boys won the boys game, obviously, 62-47. I think the difference in the girls game, probably, and the coaches said pretty much this, was that Ifreda has a lot of experience and Quincy really doesn't. The Quincy coach is out on maternity leave, so her he's not really a replacement, he's just in for her while she's gone.
Interim.
Said that they're starting four sophomores and one freshman. And Ifreda basically started seniors and juniors. And that made a great deal of difference. There was a pretty good height differential, too. That's not to say Quincy didn't play hard. They did. It's just that the game was pretty much Ifreda's from the start. And Quincy battled back a little bit in the second half, but the hole was way too deep. In the boys' game, the first quarter was back and forth. There was like a little exchange of the ball right there at the as the clock wound down to the zero mark for the first quarter. Was slapped away, picked back up. Ifreda got it, and as the buzzer rang off, hit the shot for to take the lead. And then they didn't score anything for the first 4 minutes of the second quarter. And Quincy basically, they've got an 11. They did an 11-0 stretch there. Scored like another maybe 10 points there and just got it, took a big lead.
So much for the, carrying that momentum on
in
the second
quarter. That momentum didn't go.
Credit to the Jackrabbits for able to slow that down.
Coach Scott Beerlink said that they've been working on defense this whole season. He said that the opponents are shooting about 30% against them. And that defense really did clamp down on Ifreda, which is a pretty good team. And so the second half was a little more raggedy, especially toward the end. Ifreda got back a little bit, but they were in a pretty deep hole and they couldn't quite pull it out either.
Well, it's got to feel good for those Quincy players after losing a really close game to Ifreda last year. I think I'm pretty sure Quincy returned like their top 10 guys, so it's pretty much all the same guys on the floor for the Jackrabbits, and coming back and winning that rivalry this year.
And again, as the girls' coach talked about experience, the and in fact both teams do. A lot of Ifreda's players are seniors and juniors, but in this case, the experience. Went to the Jackrabbits this time. The Jacks put together a good game and took it pretty easily.
Absolutely. Well, congrats to the Ifreda girls and the Quincy boys
Quincy
on
boys.
Winning your rivalry matchups
Battle
on Tuesday
Basin,
or Thursday.
Yes,
sounds like it was a fun game. I'm jealous you got to go. All righty. Well, we do have one more sports story that we ended up writing this week. We put together.
You put in a lot of work on that.
Thank you. We did kind of like a congratulations section for the Royal Knights, and with that, for winning the 1A state championship. Should have included that.
For the fourth time, and, you know,
fourth time in a row, and I think seventh in the last 8 years, if I remember correctly. But along with that, we had a nice gallery with some of the pictures.
This is what they call a dominating performance.
We had a nice gallery to go along with that with some of the pictures from throughout the year and at the state title game. And then we had a story on just how dominating Royals defense was this year.
I was shocked when I read those statistics. No, there is not a better term for it.
Yeah, so some of the crazy numbers Royals put up this year. In 13 games, they only allowed 8 touchdowns to opponents. They intercepted 29 passes, which head coach Wiley Allred said was a program best, and then forced a total of 34 turnovers. They only allowed opponents to convert on 28.1% of third downs, and only allowed 158.2 yards per game all year on average.
That's
so
just...
it's really unbelievable. So we put together a story that was in Wednesday's, the December 13th edition of the Herald, and I talked with Wiley Allred, who's the head coach of the Knights, Jeremy Scroggins, their defensive coordinator, and then a couple of defensive players, and senior Jared Lee, junior Lance Allred, and senior Bennett Brown. So if you're interested in reading that, kind of what went into putting together
it's
that
a good
defense.
Story.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun to write. So yeah, feel free to check that out. You can come by.
It was interesting to watch them all season.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah.
It was interesting to see how many points they give up.
Which was not very many.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
There were plenty of 49-0, 42-0.
Mm-hmm.
40-something to zero.
Yeah. Oh, and I think I didn't even write down what was one of the most impressive things for me was in the first 4 rounds of the playoffs, they didn't allow a single point. They didn't allow a single point from the crossover or the Week 10 crossover up until the state championship game.
The first team, and these are state title contenders,
mm-hmm.
first team to score a point.
Mm-hmm.
Was in the state final.
And it was in the third quarter when Royal was already up 35-0. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So congrats to the Knights again. Feel free to check that issue of the Herald out. We got some great pictures in there. And kind of fun story that kind of goes through the entire year. So, but I think that'll do it for this week's episode of the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to find the right piece of paper here.
The Studio Basin Podcast is produced by the Columbia Basin Herald, a local newspaper serving Grand and Adams counties of Washington State. Our publisher is Clint Schroeder, and our regional general manager is Bob Richardson. Our managing editor is Rob Miller. Our reporting staff consists of senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer, the amazing Cheryl Schweitzer, who's in the studio with me today.
Oh.
Staff writer and paginator Joel Martin.
Thank you.
Sports reporter Ian Bavona, that's myself, and staff writer Gabriel Davis. The Columbia Basin Herald is published 5 days a week in print and online. The paper's website is www.columbiabasinherald.com. To provide feedback on the paper or the podcast, please email us at editor@columbiabasinherald.com. All right, that'll do it for this episode, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening.